I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Amen.
Amen.
So when you're preaching, you kind of get to stand up high and see everybody who's in the church. And I've noticed over the last few weeks, particularly since Easter, that I've seen a lot of new faces in the crowd. And this week, I was talking with a parishioner who is one of those new faces in the crowd when he said, you know, I don't think I've seen you and Millie together since I started coming here. He said, I'm beginning to wonder if you're the same person. This is about 6 weeks where we haven't served together. And so as much as I love the idea of getting behind some conspiracy that there's a single shapeshifter serving as priest at Grace and that I or Millie somehow have that capacity, we are finally back together serving for the first time since Easter, I think. And when we stood in the back of the church, that same person came in and he said, ah, Clark Kent and Superman in the same place. I'll let you figure out for yourselves who Clark Kent might be and who Superman might be. I'm putting my money behind Millie for Superman, but, you know, we'll take bets. And so for all of those who are new, rest assured, there are two priests. We are human. All is well. But for the two of us, assuming, of course, that there are, in fact, two of us, not to sow seeds of doubt, we found ourselves preaching and presiding, preaching multiple weeks in a row, running the gauntlet of Holy Week. And I've got to be honest that I'm not sure I have much left to say. I'm a generally quiet person to begin with, which maybe isn't the ideal quality of someone who stands behind a pulpit each week, but I find that I'm just not someone who has much to say. And I've had a lot to say lately. So when news came that Millie had come down with COVID and would most likely be unable to be with us today, don't worry, she has tested negative before we bum rush the exits. I quickly realized that I needed, again, to have more to say. This made me feel anxious. It is important to deliver a word to each of you each week, sometimes one of hope, one that allows us to live into vulnerability together, and at least, I hope, one that is centered on and reminds us all, myself included, of the love that God has for each and every one of us. And yet, in anticipation of today, I found words flowing not freely, but instead the ink in my proverbial pen running dry. If we're honest with ourselves, we all encounter these moments in our lives. It's part of our natural rhythm, the ebb and flow of our spiritual lives together. There are times where we are deeply moved, where we are even overwhelmed by messages of the Spirit, when we feel we are growing more rapidly than time might allow. And there are times, too, yes, of dryness. There are times where we don't have much to say. This is true for me, too. I hope that this is no grand revelation. Of course, as a leader of this church, I admit this before you, not because it's exceptional, but precisely because it's ordinary. I speak it from here because it is nothing to be afraid of, but it is part and parcel to the spiritual life from which much can be learned. So in this fifth Sunday of Easter, our liturgical cycle is now beginning to prepare us for two things. Only one Sunday stands between where we are now, with Jesus huddled around a table, revealing to his disciples, little children, I am with you only a little longer. To Ascension Day. Jesus alludes to this in today's text, saying, where I am going, you cannot come. Less than 2 weeks from today, we will remember the Ascension, where Jesus' body ascends unto the heavens. Jesus will implore his disciples, stay put. He will instruct, stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. And stay, the disciples will, until another 10 days passes and the church celebrates Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descends from the heavens on the people gathered, and St. Peter bellows the words of his ancestors, proclaiming, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. So in short, this Sunday is really the beginning of a broader picture, a broader conversation about the story of how we move from the surprise of the risen Christ to the beginnings of the church itself. Jesus will leave the disciples, but the Spirit will guide and protect them. And yet God knows that we don't always hear the Spirit loudly, clearly, or even correctly. God knew that the church was bound to be complicated, rife with conflict and schism and malpractice, and yet all the while beautiful and redemptive. God knew that humanity would complicate Christ's beautiful simplicity. And so to help today, Jesus leaves us with the most simple of messages. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In such an explosive time, having borne witness to the resurrection, it would have been easy for the heart of this message to be lost on the disciples in the midst of all they were experiencing. This again is something that each of us, I am sure, can relate to. Just as spiritual dryness may come with its challenges, we know too the challenge of intense spiritual moments is that we often forget their basic message almost as soon as they reach us. So Jesus gives us an anchor to hold to. Love one another in the same way that you have felt my love for you. What is perhaps most powerful about this principle is not that it is not contingent on anything else. In moments of beauty and bounty, or moments of dryness, in joy and in sorrow, our love for one another is always accessible. It can and it ought take different shapes and different moments, but graceful and redemptive love cannot be taken from us. Just as God's love for ourselves cannot be taken, neither can our capacity to love and connect with those around us. So as we embark together on this liturgical journey from resurrection to the indwelling of the Spirit and the reality of church and life together, let us not forget the foundation of what brings us here together. To love one another, yes, and so too to feel the love that God has for us. And what is most essential to love, love of ourselves, love of others, is to be honest, to be vulnerable. We are bound to one another, not in mere superficial niceties, but in the building and healing of body and spirit as community. As the earliest pages of Scripture reminded readers, yes, we are our brother's keeper. Not keepers of the ways of old, of isolation and mere pleasantries, but of true community. We can only make this happen together. With this Sunday, we prepare ourselves for that in-between time, the time between the redemptive joy of Christ's resurrection and the explosive arrival of the Holy Spirit to guide and inform us. In the in-between time, as Jesus reminded us, we are to wait, stay here in the city. Do not run from these in-between times, from moments of dryness, for they offer us something valuable to learn. And with Christ's words, we have the courage to dwell confidently in that in-between, knowing confidently the love of self and of other and of God. Amen.